This is Charlottesville Insights with Jeff Gaffney, supported by Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate 3 on News Talk 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WCHV.
This is Jeff Gaffney of Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate 3, and welcome to another edition of Charlottesville Insights. And on this show, we like to talk about real estate and what's going on in the world nationally, as well as right here at home in Central Virginia. Make sure you check us out on the web, charlottesvilleinsights.com, or visit our Facebook fan page, Charlottesville Insights. And on those pages, we have tons of podcasts of our previous shows, as well as lots of other useful real estate information. And today's show is brought to you in part by our good friends over at Movement Mortgage. Check out their website at movementmortgage.com for all the latest on mortgage interest rates, which fell again this week, and they're hovering around 4%. Still some good news for real estate there. And today is still another big day in the real estate market, the fall real estate market in Central Virginia. There's several different ways for you to get your real estate fix today. In the Daily Progress, Real Estate 3 has a full-page ad with photos and directions to our open houses today. You can also see that at realestate3.com as well. And if you want to see something really cool, check out Real Estate 3 TV. That's on every Sunday at 7 and 10 o'clock in the morning, and then 11:30 p.m. That's on ABC, CBS, and Fox TV. On that show, you'll be able to see over 40 different homes that are for sale, as well as a preview of some of the Sunday open houses. So check that out if you get a chance. And you can also follow me on Twitter. At Jeff Gaffney is my Twitter handle, and I'll be tweeting out the real estate news throughout the week. And today on the show, we have back with us Tim Carson. Tim is a member of the Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate 3 leadership team, and he's an expert in many things, including investment property. We're going to talk to Tim and get his view on this recovering real estate market, as well as walk through how to buy some investment property, since that seems to be the thing to do these days. But first, we're going to take a quick look at a couple of real estate articles I want to cover. USA Today came out this week. It says home sales in October weaker than forecasted. The article sounds scary, but it's really not. It says that total sales fell 3% from September, which is not uncommon this time of year. But noted also in this article that sales are 6% higher than October of 2012. So there's the good news. It said homes were on the market 54 days versus 50 days in September. I don't see that as really a big deal. Supply of homes nationally edged up from 4.9 months to 5 months. That's still really good for a real estate market. Here's some good news. Distressed sales account for 14% of total sales compared to 25% a year ago. That's good because distressed sales will, of course, put downward pressure on pricing. Economists say the pace of the recovery is slowing, but it's not reversing. That's good news. September prices were 12% higher. So the prices were 12% higher than a year earlier. More good news. Rates are dropping. That's good news. The 30-year fixed is a little over 4%. And in summary, it said the government shutdown in October did have some effect, but the market keeps chugging. Well, the other article I want to talk about, and we're going to get Tim's opinion of this. I thought it was actually kind of funny. MSN Real Estate, their article, and I posted this on Twitter. It said, test drive your new home. A growing trend across the country is to let buyers spend a night or two in the property you're trying to sell in an attempt to sell your home. I'm not sure I totally agree with that program, but this is Charlottesville Insights. We're going to talk to Tim Carson and be back in just a moment.
This is Jay Callagher, Vice President of Sales and Marketing for Stonehouse. I am absolutely thrilled to be leading the sales and marketing efforts in Belvedere, as well as other exceptional new construction neighborhoods around town. For assistance with any residential and commercial needs in these or other great locations around town, please call me at 434-962-4613 or visit the Stonehouse website at stonehouse.net.
This is Jeff Gaffney of Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate 3. Join us every Sunday at 11:30 on 107.5 FM for Charlottesville Insights.
Hi, this is Michael Buczynski with Movement Mortgage here in Charlottesville. I'd like you to think of me as your concierge lender for your purchase transactions. We're here for your every need. You call us, we'll get your loan pre-approved and processed within 7 business days, and we'll have you cleared to close in 7 business days. So please give us a call, 434-987-6712. Or check us out on the web at movementmortgage.com/MikeB.
Michael Buczynski, NMLS 432-414. Movement Mortgage LLC is an equal housing lender. NMLS 39179. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. 877-314-1499. Movement Mortgage LLC is licensed by the Virginia Bureau of Financial Institutions. MC 5112. Borrowers must qualify at closing for all benefits. Movement Mortgage is a registered trademark of Movement Mortgage LLC, a Delaware limited liability company.
Hi, I'm Pat Jensen, the manager for Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate 3 29 North office. I've pretty much grown up here in the Charlottesville area and love Central Virginia. My son Chris works with me, and we enjoy helping people find the right home. We love it when the magic happens. You can reach us at charlottesvillelife.com or call 242-1554.
This is Jeff Gaffney of Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate 3. Join us every Sunday at 11:30 on 107.5 FM for Charlottesville Insights.
This is Charlottesville Insights with Jeff Gaffney, supported by Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate 3 on News Talk 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WCHV.
Welcome back to Charlottesville Insights. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and with us on the program we have back with us is Tim Carson. He's a member of the Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate 3 leadership team, expert in many things, including investment property. Tim, we're going to talk with you about investment property and how to buy investment property. But first, I want to get your take on this USA Today article, because it's getting a lot of traction out there in the Twitter world that home sales really fell off in October. But you and I have been doing this a long time. We know that October things tend to slow down a little bit.
They do, and a lot of times it's dependent upon interest rates and world events and national things. I think the government shutdown stirred people up a little bit. But overall, I think it's more traditional real estate like we were used to before the boom and before the recession.
I agree with you on that. And I think the fact that nationally homes are on the market 54 days versus 50 days, that's not a big deal.
Not at all.
That's still a good number.
That's a good number.
I mean, because you and I have been in this business when, you know, sometimes it would take twice that amount.
Absolutely.
To sell a home. So I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about inventory edging up, because it sometimes does edge up this time of year. But the one thing it put in writing right in front of me, 5 months worth of inventory, that's still, as you and I would call that, 6 months is kind of the demarcation line.
Right.
5 months still makes it a pretty good time to sell a home.
It's like an even market, basically. We're not quite in either a buyer or seller market. And I think good properties that are priced well, that are in good condition, and that people bought them using their brains and weren't caught up in emotions, are going to do fine.
What about the fact that distress sales is dropping in terms of percentage of overall sales? Last year it was 25%, so that's a big chunk. That's a quarter of the market, and now it's dropped down to 14%. That goes to, I think, why you're seeing prices higher this year than last year.
I agree, and I think that's some of the market trend. I mean, the predictions that I've heard are that we're about 2 years out here with the majority of the foreclosures coming through, and things seem to have settled down. And as you and I know, I've managed in the past several agents that were foreclosure agents, and I've talked to them recently, a couple of the big producers in the market, and their foreclosure sales have dropped by about 20%, but their short sales have jumped up.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the lenders have gotten a lot brighter about how to actually help Americans and help themselves.
Now, we had Bill Tucker on the show last weekend, and we were talking about the advantages of doing a short sale as opposed to a home going into foreclosure. And Bill is a leading real estate attorney and really a specialist in helping and with distressed properties. And he was just talking about how he has seen a pickup in short sales. Overall, he's seen a drop in short sales, but he's seen a pickup in short sales in the upper price ranges. Some people that were a little over leveraged on their homes, you know, over $600,000-$700,000. He is seeing some people that are starting to unload those properties. But the breakthrough in talking with him is it seems like the banks have settled in that, yes, we can do a short sale. And it's really, you know, they figured out it shouldn't be that complicated.
Right, and as you and I know, a few years ago it was like the Wild Wild West out there because of all the different lenders and the way they process things and the realtors not being aware of the process. And I'm closing one tomorrow that Bill Tucker's helping with, and it's a good example of one where the people owed $170,000 out at the lake, and I have an investor that made an offer of $130,000, and I think we got it for $135,000, and we were able to get the short sale done. It's closing tomorrow, and so the bank had a loan amount of $170,000.
Right.
And everybody wins. They didn't have to foreclose. The buyer got a good deal. I just think it makes a lot of sense.
Because I think banks have started to realize, and they've seen the empirical data that says once a home goes to foreclosure, it tends to sell a whole lot less than a short sale would sell for. And I think the numbers I've seen is that a foreclosed property sometimes will sell as much as 40% off of the market value, whereas a short sale might only come off 15 or 20%.
Right.
And so, you know, the banks can do the math, obviously.
Right.
And it's in everybody's interest to do the short sale.
Absolutely. And in the case of the one I'm doing, actually have an investor make the offer help because they didn't have any time frame on when it was going to close because sometimes they take longer and they were cash buyers. So it made it easier for the bank to look at the short sale details.
For any of our listeners, again, on this short sale, the thing to be focused on is what happens to the deficiency. In other words, if you owe $170,000 and the bank has accepted $130,000, there's a $40,000 deficiency. And that's where if you hire somebody like Bill Tucker to represent you, oftentimes the banks will just write that off. If you try to do it yourself, sometimes you'll see the banks come at you with some type of judgment or something that that carries forward with you. And even that's not the end of the world because you get the property sold, but it sure is a lot easier for you if you get the debt forgiveness.
It was, and they also covered the fees that were involved in the transaction. So it was more than a $40,000 bite.
So let's see. September prices up 12% from a year ago. Feels like that, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. I think so. I think our pricing has helped. I've actually had one house I just closed in August where people bought it 2 years ago, and they sold it for a decent profit within 2 years, which I was pleased to see in this market.
What neighborhood was that?
Glenmore.
In Glenmore. Well, let's see. Certain neighborhoods were, you know, a 2 year. 2 years ago, we weren't sure that you would see that, but that's a sign of a comeback in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. But as you're probably going to say, it's neighborhood dependent.
Well, also, if you don't mind me saying, after 30 years in real estate, I still believe that the key ingredient in buying is to buy smart.
Yeah.
If you buy smart, then when you sell, it's easy.
Right.
Buy the property that other people will like.
Right. Let's see. Last couple comments from that USA Today article. Rates dropping. Rates had, you know, they spiked up there, I guess, in June. Everybody was freaking out, and that put a little freeze on the marketplace. But the rates now on the 30-year, which is what, as realtors, we tend to track and quote to our buyers, 4%, that's a great number.
Darn right. Good grief. When I started in real estate, the first house I sold was 13.5%.
Yeah. And our listeners are tired of me saying this. When I started a couple of years after you in 1987, we had mortgages then at 11.75%, and our hope then was that rates would get into single digits.
Right.
And man, when they hit 8%, we thought we had it.
Oh, yes.
But now 4%. It's a great time if you're still thinking about buying a home. That's a great rate. And the government shutdown, you and I know that it did freak people out a little bit. It had people hit the brakes, I think, a little bit. Don't you?
I do, and I think that sometimes you have to remember how human beings are, and people usually buy based on emotions. When they feel good, they're more likely to buy. And so they like things to be settled. They like good weather. And, you know, when nice things are happening, it's easy for them to spend money.
All right, let's talk about this other article real quick. MSN Real Estate, test drive your next home. Again, the idea was that the trend is that I guess you see this in vacation properties a lot, where you'll let buyers spend the night in the home for a night or two to, quote unquote, give it a test drive. You think that would work in Charlottesville?
No. I don't, personally. I think it's a marketing thing that doesn't have a lot of weight to it.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
The only thing I could see, you've done sales long enough to know the old puppy dog clothes, and if you get somebody that involved, if they're here from out of town,
right,
maybe. But I wouldn't let them into one of my resale homes. I know that.
Right. I keep thinking of all the legal issues that are involved. Virginia is more of a, you know, caveat emptor state, and it's more favorable for landlords and sellers. And I, you know, my concerns are, how do you handle that from a legal standpoint? Yeah, go stay in the house, enjoy yourself.
You know, I'm also very cautious with our clients, particularly our sellers,
yes,
on an early occupancy situation. And early occupancy, you run into this all the time, where the home is supposed to close November 15th and the buyer's loan isn't ready yet, but the moving truck is all scheduled, so they ask, can they move in November 15th and we'll close later? And that has blown up on me a few times, because then you get into those terrible situations of what happens if the loan actually doesn't come through, and now you have somebody in the home that you have to get out.
Right.
What do you think about the early occupancy?
I think that we're blessed to be realtors, because the Virginia Association of Realtors, as you know, gives us pretty good forms that cover most of the problems. But I do agree that a good real estate agent needs to do his homework and make sure he protects the seller and make sure there's provisions in there for the what-ifs. And that's where a lot of people fail.
Well, an early occupancy should never be confused with a lease purchase.
Right.
Actually can be sold on doing a lease purchase for somebody, particularly if the seller's got to go. And sometimes it's a little bit of a lease and hope for purchase.
Right.
But you can write those things strong enough so that, you know, the goal there would be, if it's going to close a year from now, the buyer would move in today, pay fair market rent, and then basically they're just extending the closing. And that can work. That can be a good situation. Sometimes you'll see people try to negotiate some of that rent, if the lender will allow them to do it, to be applied towards down payment or closing costs. Lenders are really kind of finicky on that today.
I don't have as much a problem with it if it's presented at the beginning of the deal and it's negotiated in. And I think it's a really valuable thing if the seller's house is vacant, because they can get some income.
Right.
And if the buyer needs a place, then it makes sense to negotiate it. But I'm not big on doing it the last minute.
And the other thing that I've seen, and then we're going to take a break here in just a second, is that if I'm representing the seller and somebody comes to me with a lease purchase opportunity, if the deposit is non-refundable and sizable,
the
buyer has to have some quote-unquote skin in the game.
Yes, indeed.
And at risk. Mm-hmm. So if they don't perform, they lose that deposit, and it's, you know, $5,000, $10,000. Bigger the better.
Makes a difference.
So we're talking with Tim Carson. This is Charlottesville Insights. We're going to take a break, and we're going to walk through how to buy investment property. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Hi, my name's Donna Patton. I'm a managing broker with Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate 3. I've lived in Central Virginia all my life, been selling real estate for over 17 years. I know what it takes to get you the house you want. Visit me at DonnaSellsVirginia.com. Look for horse properties, residential or land.
This is Jeff Gaffney of Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate 3. Join us every Sunday at 11:30 on 107.5 FM for Charlottesville Insights.
Hi, this is Michael Buczynski with Movement Mortgage here in Charlottesville. I'd like you to think of me as your concierge lender for your purchase transactions. We're here for your every need. You call us, we'll get your loan pre-approved and processed within 7 business days, and we'll have you cleared to close in 7 business days. So please give us a call, 434-987-6712. Or check us out on the web at movementmortgage.com/Mike B.
Michael Buczynski, NMLS 432414. Movement Mortgage LLC is an equal housing lender. NMLS 39179. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. 877-314-1499. Movement Mortgage LLC is licensed by the Virginia Bureau of Financial Institutions. MC 5112. Borrowers must qualify at closing for all benefits. Movement Mortgage is a registered trademark of Movement Mortgage LLC, a Delaware limited liability company.
Jeff Gaffney, Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate 3.
We really have a family culture. Our agents enjoy coming to work every day. They love Central Virginia and giving back to the community. And what better way than to help somebody call Central Virginia home? Check out our new website, realestate3.com. We just relaunched it recently, and there's all kinds of videos and great content for you.
Visit realestate3.com. realestate3.com. This is Charlottesville Insights with Jeff Gaffney, supported by Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate 3 on News Talk 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WCHV.
Welcome back to Charlottesville Insights. Jeff Gaffney, your host. With us again this week is Tim Carson. He's an expert in many things, and one of them he's really good at is investment property. Tim, walk us through, if you'd start with, what are the different types of investment property opportunities out there? What are you looking at today?
Well, the first thing when you meet with somebody is to establish their investment needs, just like a stockbroker or an investment analysis analyst would. And so typically speaking, you have to decide if somebody's looking for long-term investment or short-term. So, you know, long-term investments would be a very conservative one, be to buy a piece of land or a piece of property and just hold it for a long time. But typically speaking, you're talking more or less rental properties. Now, I've sold a couple duplexes. I've got one under contract. I got one I closed in the city. So to be able to purchase a property, use the tenant's rent to pay the rent, then you get equity build up through paying the loan down over the ownership. You get some tax deductions because you get to depreciate it, and you might have cash flow. So there's actually 4 benefits of owning rental properties. And in most cases, it's shocking if you really sit down and run the after-tax benefits. A lot of these rental properties are bringing in 10 to 20% first year from the money you invested, which is how I like to look at them. How much money does an investor put into the deal to get it? At the end of the year, how much money did he make on paper, including all those benefits? The other thing is a lot of people are buying properties, novice investors, to buy them because they can buy them low, fix them up, and then resell them. And that's a very interesting model. There are some people that are more experienced. I've got one guy doing 2 at a time, but he has a lot of cash, $600,000 cash.
Are those the house flipper kind of guys?
Yes, mm-hmm. And we go in and we look. And even last 2 weeks ago, I was at the auction at Holiday Inn where they auctioned 8 properties off, and there were 40 people. And I bid for a group of investors, and we got 4 of the 7 properties. They paid $650,000 cash at auction. They're all city properties, and all of them are positive cash flows, all residential 1 or 2 unit properties in the city. So, and that's really the, especially if somebody buys a property at a younger age, that's a wonderful thing to be able to own it, pay the loan off, and then at some point in the future you own it free and clear, you collect the rent. Even at that point, you can still sell them on it and do a 1031 tax deferred exchange and start new depreciation schedules. So those investment properties can really help you over your life.
Mm-hmm.
There's people that do other things. There's people that buy a piece of land and split it up and sell it and make money on that over time. But you need to be able to have the ability to hold them. But I think typically what I'm seeing in the market is people, there's a lot of cash, and people, there's other benefits, I think, to own a real estate that people don't think about. I mean, when you invest in a piece of real estate, you can own it from a lot of different perspectives. It could be a moral thing for you. You don't have your money invested in the internet in some business that you don't know what they're doing with it. You can actually drive by it, see it. You can rent it to a tenant. You can provide a valuable service to society, and you can make money over time. So I think there's a lot of benefits that people don't think about that make investment property very exciting to me.
Well, and I see a lot of clients that like that tangible idea that you just talked about, that they want to be able to drive by and see it and check on their investment, and particularly the kind of the gentleman investor that's is just doing a couple of properties. You mentioned foreclosures earlier. Is that something that an investor should consider, buying foreclosure properties, or are they better off just searching by neighborhood, finding a nice stable neighborhood? What's your preference on that?
Depends about their emotional well-being, because I hate to make that sound funny, but there are investors who are not suited for buying a property and have a tenant move in, and they fix it up to the level that they would like to make it as their Taj Mahal, so to speak, and then they watch tenants move in who don't treat it with the same love they would. So that that's an issue. But with the foreclosures, you definitely, if you are willing to investigate them and do your prep work, and you have a good real estate agent like we have at Real Estate 3 here to help you with it, then I think, and you can really make some money over time. But you have to have a backup plan as well.
For our listeners who are thinking about getting into investment property, what's the least amount of cash that you've seen somebody able to buy a piece of rental property with?
Well, if you, if you're really creative, there's a lot of ways you can do it. I've actually sold a few with no money down, but it was still involving, my clients had great credit. And they had some ability to, well, they did an 80% loan to value, but they were able to pull money out of another line of credit, or they were able to get the seller of the property to hold a note and secure it against another property. But typically, you need 20 to 25% down payment, unless you can go work through your bank and get something different.
Have you thought about, for any of your clients, commercial property?
Yes, I have, and I've sold several properties over the years. I mean, actually, there's one back on the market with another realtor right now, which used to be rented to the Dr. Jane Brain Injury Center that I sold years ago to an investor. And, excuse me, they owned it and have collected income and then converted it to a like a sort of a fancy rooming house. But I think the commercial side of it, it's the financing of it that you have to get involved with that's tough. It's tougher. And I think it really depends on the type of commercial property. I mean, you need to look at the quality of the income stream. That's the whole deal. Who is the tenant? What's the business? And what is it? Because that's what you have to worry about. You know, you can replace a residential tenant fairly easily, and you might lose a little income. But with commercial property, it takes a lot more study.
How is the commercial market, in your view, around the downtown mall area? That seems to kind of go in waves. Sometimes it's really hot, and other times you see all kinds of vacancy. What's your view on that?
I think it's perked up. I think it's doing pretty well down there. I think that whole downtown area, I mean, I grew up here, and I remember, I was down there at 16 sitting with my dad when two blocks burned when he was a volunteer fireman. It wasn't anything. I shopped at the Woolworths down there, and Sears used to be down there. So. But I think that it's just revitalized. It's kind of an exciting place. Everybody goes down there, and I think that's what's drawing all the businesses. So,
if you're interested in investment property, call Tim Carson. I do want to get to one of these questions before the show's over. Here's one that came in from our listeners. Greg in Keswick wrote, "Is there a best time to buy a house?" And I think he means the month or a season. What's your view for a buyer? If somebody's trying to time it, what's the best time to get the best deal?
I say you need to do it within 90 days when you start looking, because interest rates are you can lock your rates in on your loans. But I would say if you're in the peak of the spring market, there's a lot of competition. I think there's maybe less selection, but better deals out there in the winter and in the summer.
Right.
But I don't think you should plan that. I think people should make decisions based on the information they have at hand and plan their life and try to make a really good decision.
Here's my response to Greg. I agree with Tim. I do think that if you're buying new construction, oftentimes you can negotiate better in the November, December, if you can put up with that time of year, because there's so much going on. The builders are a little more desperate to get a deal then. And then here's the other kind of, this is micromanaging it, but a lot of these, I'm going to say, the larger volume builders, shall we call them, they have sales quotas to meet. And believe it or not, If you can get in to see them at the end of the month, you're going to find them a whole lot more flexible than the beginning of the month. They're all trying to salvage. It's a little bit like car sales. They're trying to salvage their month, and you'll find deals that happen at the end of the month that you couldn't get anywhere. Tim Carson, thanks for being on the show. Are you happy with your Virginia Cavaliers basketball program?
That was a good game last night. I think the team is looking pretty solid.
Yeah, and I think Tony Bennett's done a great job with the basketball team, and I'm predicting we'll be in the tournament for sure this year, and we could be one of those teams, a team to watch.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Tim Carson, thanks again for being on the show. Everybody, make sure you check out Real Estate 3 TV and also check out realestate3.com. Have an awesome Sunday. We'll see you next week.